Vim Vendors first worked with Sam Shepard on Paris, Texas, and now, some 20 years later, they have teamed up on another film set in the West. It's called Don't Come Knocking and stars not only Sam Shepard, but Jessica Lange, Sarah Polley, Eva Marie Saint, and James Gammon, and it opens today at the UA Union Square and Lincoln Plaza. Yeah, I'm very delighted that it brings Vim Vendors back to my show today as well. Hi.
It's a pleasure to be back here, Leonard.
Had you wanted to work together with Sam Shepard before this?
Not really, because Paris, Texas had been such a great experience that we both sort of had decided to lay low for a while, because if something is really that great, you can only destroy it if you repeat it too quickly. But it seemed to both of us that 20 years was enough of abstinence.
Uh-huh. And did you both come up with the idea for this story?
Well, I brought a story to Sam, and we discussed it for a while, and in the end, nothing of my story was left over, but we'd come up with another one that we liked. And
well, what had you wanted to do?
Well, I came to Sam with the story of a businessman who was from New York, sort of a broker, and he found out that he had a son that he never heard of in the West, and he got there for the very first time and got totally lost there. And Sam didn't want to make a movie about a businessman. He said, I don't know anything about these people. But he liked the idea that there was a son that he didn't know, and somehow a new story then just kept that element.
And he then wrote the screenplay.
He wrote the entire thing. We wrote the story together, because Sam writes in chronological order. You can't even sort of think of a story. You can only think of a character. And then Sam writes the first scene, and then after that he says, what now? And then we discuss the next scene, but never anything afterwards, never a story or a plot, because he strictly works from characters.
Although you knew that there would be a lost child, and that would occur somewhere.
We didn't know
down
how we were
going
to get there. That was the problem.
Hadn't you tried to get Sam Shepard to play the lead in Paris, Texas?
I tried hard, but didn't help me much. The harder I tried, the more stubborn he was that he wasn't going to play it. And at the time he said, because he had written the script, it was too close to his heart and he knew too much about the character. And I thought that was baloney.
Mm. Well, maybe he's changed his attitude about acting.
Well, it wasn't that. You see, while we wrote Paris, Texas, he fell in love with Jessica. So, and I was sort of privy to that, and actually sort of quite often when there was a call for him, said, well, Sam is just writing, I can't disturb him, because it was still top secret. But it didn't help me much, because the reason why he did not want to appear in Paris, Texas was that at the same time that I was shooting, he had a chance to make a film with Jessica, Country. Mm-hmm. And when I finally found out the truth, I couldn't really blame him, because I guess I would have done the same.
But Harry Dean Stanton was very good.
And Harry Dean made me, I was just going to say that, Harry Dean made me forget all my desires to get Sam in front of the camera.
Well, in this case, we do have Jessica Lange. I guess the answer to getting him to act in a film is to put her in the film, too.
No, that was out of the question for a long time, because they married and they had children. And for a long time, actually ever since Country, they never appeared together on the screen, because one of them, that was the iron rule, was always going to stay home. Mm-hmm. If the other one worked. And I was lucky enough that with Don't Come Knocking, kids were old enough.
Well, they definitely play against their own experience, or at least I hope they're playing against their own experience, because she's a former lover, and although she doesn't seem to harbor any resentment toward this man who reappears in her life, it's not exactly a love fest either.
No, I mean, she gets really pissed off when he proposes to marry her 30 years too late. That's a no-no. Don't ever try that on a lady.
My guest is Vim Vendors, whose new film is called Don't Come Knocking. It opens today at the UA Union Square and also the Lincoln Plaza. The plot concerns an aging actor who's at loose ends about his life and who suddenly just leaves a shoot and rides off into the desert the way Westerns ended. He just rides off into the sunset on his horse. And then he tries to figure out what's happened to his life.
Well, I mean, he's has sort of an obsolete profession, because he's a Western actor. And that doesn't really exist anymore. But maybe there's still a few guys around. And actually, that was Sam's idea, and I went along with it because I finally sort of saw the point. That Western actor who played this sort of Western hero all his life and believed in those parts and finally himself tried to live the freedom that sort of exists in these this fake sort of idea of freedom that these Westerns sort of promote. And someday he realizes that by living this life of a Western hero, he had sort of totally missed his own life. And in the movie of his own life, he was not a hero. He was not even a supporting actor. He was not even an extra. He didn't appear in his own life. And that sort of terrifies him, and he tries to catch a glimpse of the life that he missed.
The people he left behind, including his own mother.
Kids and the love of his life. I mean, he just left everybody. He never committed to anything.
How did you choose to shoot in Butte, Montana? And was this a place that was in your mind, or is this, like all these other things, something that just happened?
No, that was something I brought to Sam when I came with the idea. Because I'm trying to get a movie made in Butte, Montana, of all places, for 28 years now.
Why?
Because that's...
What is it about that part of the American landscape that keeps on drawing you back?
Because the town of Butte, Montana is unique, not only in America, but in the entire world. There's no place like it. And I was so lucky that although I discovered it in the mid-70s, nobody ever made a film there, and we were still the first. And I went there because I have a favorite novel in American literature. It's really my favorite novel in the 20th century. It's called Red Harvest. It's Dashiell Hammett's first novel. And that novel has single-handedly created the detective story and film noir, and Faulkner and Hemingway, they all really sort of profited from that groundbreaking book. And the story of Red Harvest takes place in what I thought was a fictional city called Poisonville. And it's really bloody and violent, and there's strikes and strike breakers and lynching and bank robberies. I mean, it's unbelievable story written in 28. And when I found out in an interview that Hammett gave at the end of his life that Poisonville existed and that everything...
With that name.
No, everything in the book was actually... All the events were based on his own experiences in Butte, Montana, when he came from New York to Butte as a strikebreaker. And when he realized what he was doing, he quit the Pinkertons. So the book actually was based on real events and on a real city. And the next day I was in a car to see that city.
But Germans have had a long love affair with the American West, haven't they? Around the time that Hammett was writing that, there was a German writer, Karl May, who was writing Westerns that I think are still being read in Germany.
What do you mean still being read? There is no kid that doesn't read them. And he was actually, he lived in the 19th century. He was a little, he was dead when Hammett was writing.
Oh, really?
But he never left Germany, and he wrote most of these novels in prison. And he wrote 50 books about the American West, and every German since has read them. I don't know anybody who hasn't read them.
So is that where it began for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I read all these stories, and the Indians were all glorious and noble, and they were trappers, and I mean, they were all Europeans. I mean, all the people in those books were Germans and Englishmen and Frenchmen and Swedes, and probably that was true. I mean, those people discovered the West, and therefore I thought the West is ours.
And as a filmmaker, you have this other incredible tradition. For example, in this film, you have George Kennedy playing the director of the film that Sam Shepard's character abandons. I mean, he worked with John Ford and Howard Hawks. He was
Anthony
a part
Mann.
Of that landscape.
Yeah, he's one of the few who actually made a living as a Western actor. He was in some of the great Westerns of all times. And when I had to cast the part of a director, I didn't hesitate. And then he came on his own in the car. He was in his 80s, but still a giant. I mean, I didn't know he was that big. And came driving on his own in his beautiful old Mercedes because he lives next door where we're shooting. We were shooting in Montana, and he came from Idaho.
And does he have wonderful old stories of working with the masters?
He was full of stories, and we had great fun with him every night.
And then you had Eva Marie Saint, who appeared in the area in a different kind of a film, in North by Northwest, but that was Alfred Hitchcock. We don't think of her as a mother, at least in my mind. She's still always going to be that beautiful woman from
Absolutely.
North by Northwest.
But you'll keep thinking of her as a mother, not only when you see Don't Come Knocking, but also when you see the next Superman, because Martha Kent, Superman's mom, is played by nobody else than Eva Marie Saint. But she was ready to do anything after she was Howard's mom, I tell you.
Well, he was not the best child to have had. She lives in Elko, which is Nevada, and you also shot in Moab, Utah. These are in the West, but they're also very modern places.
Elko is actually sort of a little bit lost in space and time. Elko sort of has a strange feeling of the Basque cowboys who actually brought the sheep herding to the area. And Elko still feels like a cowboy town, while all the other cities in Nevada are strictly gambling towns. And that's why we shot in Elko, because there is still a, you can still feel a beautiful past that once was there before the casinos.
The cast also includes Tim Roth. Had you worked with him before?
Tim played a one-day part in Million Dollar Hotel, where he saved my life because I had lost an actor the night before. And I never found out how Tim found out about it, but he called me that evening and said, I heard you need an actor. I never asked. He said, yes, be there tomorrow. And he played a beautiful part of Izzy Goldkiss in Million Dollar Hotel, and it was a fantastic day of shooting. And ever since, I wanted to do some real work with him.
Well, he's one of those amazing actors who can... Oh. You're never even sure it's Tim Roth, because he just becomes the character he's playing every time.
And he had fun with that character, and maybe that was the most fun to play. He plays this bounty hunter. And he played it with his own English accent, so he was this Englishman lost in the West and like a fish out of water.
And you have Sarah Pauley, who plays Skye. She's one of the most talented young actresses out there. Did you pick these people?
I wouldn't let anybody else do that, because that's the best fun of the project, of really finding your actors. And some of the parts were written for these actors. And Sarah I had in mind ever since I knew that Al Howard also had a daughter. Mm-hmm. And she's just tremendous. And her part of Skye is really probably my favorite thing in the movie.
Well, there are real Skyes there as well, and a real sense of the West. Probably impossible if you didn't have Franz Lustig shooting the film. Have you collaborated with him a lot?
Franz is a young DP from Germany. This is only his second film, and his first film really on film. Mm-hmm. We did his first feature film together, and that was a digital handheld shoot, Land of Plenty. So this is only his second film, and he just won Best Cinematographer in Europe for the European Film Awards, which is our Oscars, only with his second movie in. And he's a tremendous talent. Huh?
Mm. Can you spot something like that from the start?
In this case, I could, because Franz and I shot a couple of videos with the Eels and some other bands, and we shot some commercials, and I knew he had it in him. He was just scared to switch to the long format, and when I offered him Land of Plenty, well, I had to twist his arm, and then he loved it, and then he was very happy that also he could do the next one, a real movie. We shot it in 35 and scope and everything, and he was brilliant.
Well, you also have made any number of important documentaries. So you make feature films, story films. You make documentary films, which are more important these days than they used to be. And you also shoot music videos. Is that the life of a director these days? What you can when you can?
I also write a lot. Essays and all sorts of things and short stories, and I'm a photographer as well. And I just, I'm a confessing workaholic.
You're also somebody who seems to really have a great love affair with the United States. Although many people will remember your Cuban film, the Buena Vista Social Club, as something very special.
Well, that's in the center of the Americas. If you look at the map and you see North America and South America, you realize that Cuba is something that's right smack dab in the middle, like in the womb of the Americas. So I think it's utterly American.
So what are you doing next? Are you going to stay here?
I'm living in America for the last 10 years, and I've made 6 films in a row in English in America, and right now I feel an urge to sort of work in my own language again, somehow shoot for once in Germany again.
But meanwhile, Don't Come Knocking, which is in English and stars Sam Shepard, Jessica Lange, Sarah Pauly, Eva Marie Saint, and James Gammon, is opening today at the UA Union Square and at the Lincoln Center. My great thanks to Wim Wenders, the director of this film, which has a script by Sam Shepard, for being my guest.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
You're everything I could want. There's no house you couldn't haunt. You're the key that could keep me in. You're the sense under the skin. I won't bring you roses, I'll bring myself instead. Time only is time for what is meant, not what was said. You're a dream I could wake up in. You're a fire.